You might turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. The Lord here in the midst of dealing with the company at hand and a man wanting the Lord Jesus to divide, to speak to his brother to divide the inheritance. He gives a warning there about covetousness. And he declares in this verse that a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which he has in possession. That's not what life is all about. Now, we need things in life, as we've looked at in messages. The Lord provides, and in the offering for the church, the Lord provides and convicts you and provides for you and jobs and work and the blessing of that, and then convicts you to give of that for the sake of the church and all the things of life for ourselves, for our families. The Lord knows that we need stuff, and there's a right place for it. We're called into stewardship, but never to take that and put that before the Lord, but as the scripture declares, to take the things of life and use it for the honor and glory of the Lord. Use them well. Don't abuse them, but use them well. But our life doesn't consist of that. Touching that of things of life, what's more important, what the Lord is looking out there, is looking for there, is our character regarding such, our spiritualness or lack thereof regarding such. So if it's not the things of life that constitute our lives, then what is it? Well, we've looked and we see that it's relationships in life. And so much about what this book speaks about that from cover to cover. The first relationship is a relationship that each and every one of us need with the Lord as Savior, as Redeemer, as sacrifice, as the one to the only one that has given an atonement. And that's a relationship we need with God through the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the most important relationship. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need that with Him. And you can have that with Him by what Jesus has done. And repent of your sins before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. It's the only way that men, women, boys, and girls can come into the Father is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need Him. We've taken a look about relationships as a worker. The Lord called Adam and He gave him work to do. And we've got a responsibility in our work. All of us do. We've taken a look about marriage and how our relationships are directed and given by God about how to be in marriage. As parents, we're given that on how we are to be. Our Lord is involved in all of these. He's given us the instruction and the directive that we need to be well and pleasing to Him in all of these relationships. Even as grandparents, right? Even as grandparents, we have the way we are to be. Even as in-laws, we have the way that we are to be. Well, I know you've been waiting for it, young people. And that is the relationship of children. Yes, the Lord speaks to children. And all of these things, the things that I've preached about and we brought forth from the scripture, you need those, maybe not right now, but you'll need them in the future. And now's the time to be getting a hold of them. It's always better. You can ask anybody in our midst that is older or that has graying hair. It's always better to know the truth in advance before you arrive at the situation rather than to be found in the situation and saying, oh no, what is the right thing to do? And so it's good to learn. But where you find yourself as a child, and indeed these things speak to all of us, and it's so interesting that the design of the Lord is such that, remember, even we who are older, we are the children of the Lord, aren't we? That's the way He refers to us as children, as sheep. And so we need these things. But listen, children, you're only going to pass through this time of your life once. And so do it well. Do it with the instruction, the wisdom that Brother Bobby brought out in his reading this morning, that the Lord has, the understanding, the knowledge that the Lord has, and you will be blessed. Follow and obey the Lord. You have his blessings. Disobey the Lord, you're heading down a road of destruction indeed. And we don't want that for anyone, do we? First, let's start over here in Proverbs chapter 20. And let us all know this. And young people, you listen to this. Listen to what the Lord says in it. In Proverbs chapter 20, where we are after a particular verse here that speaks about the subject, but it's kind of wrapped up around something, and I want us to see that. In Proverbs 20, verse number 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? We've taken care of our sin. We've cleaned ourselves up even to the heart. Well, no one can. And then the Lord speaks about this. I find it interesting. Different weights and different measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. What's that talking about? Well, you go to buy a pound of beans, and the one that's selling you the beans kind of puts their thumb on the scale. And really, when you get home on your scale and you measure it up and you only got 3/4 pound of beans, God says that's an abomination to him. Or in old times, or maybe if you've had a science class or physical science class, chemistry, there's the balances that are used, right? Brother Doug knows about those, and we've taken different kind of classes. And so you get out the weights. You've got the weight set, and you need so many grams of something, and you need 11.5 grams. So you get out the 10-gram weight and the 1-gram weight and the 1/2-gram weight, and then you go over here and you sprinkle the stuff that you're getting out until the balance evens up. Well, in somebody trading and dealing with another person, in buying and selling or trading, if those weights don't weigh what they're to weigh, God says that's an abomination. And here's the thing. How many tradesmen have had abominable weights? Now, we couldn't count the number, but you know who knows the number? God knows the number. Okay, so it's interesting that that's wrapped in there. And verse number 11, listen to this. Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by what he does, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. So interesting. Verse 9, verse 10, wrapped around verse 11, verse number 12 coming in there. I think that relative to verse number 11, all of these things state things that the Lord wants us to know. We cannot cleanse ourselves, and bad trade and bad weights and measures, God hates that. I mean, it's abominable to him. And then this in verse number 12, that the hearing ear, which is a marvel, the seeing eye, which is a marvel, God's made both of them. God knows us even to our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what our motive is right now. He knows what our design is for right now and in an hour and 3 hours, tomorrow, next week. He knows all of that. And even a child, young people, you're known by what you do. Your reputation precedes you even now. It does. It does. Whether his work, the child's work, is pure, and whether it be right. So our reputation, your reputation, it precedes you. We need to know that. It's known to those around you, and more importantly, it's known by God, even to the heart. We can only see what's done. We can only see what's pursued. We can see the attitudes and the things that are said and the things that are pursued. But God knows all the detail down to the heart. Remember what Hebrews 4:12 says. The word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Gets down there amongst us where we're put together. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If the word of God is so, how about the Lord? If the Word is a discerner, it is so because God, who has spoken it, is a discerner. And so we need to know that. Children, you need to know that, that God knows what's going on. Now listen, God is not an ogre. He's not an old crotchety fella just looking for everybody, finding out who's going to slip up. He is one that tells us the truth so we might be blessed. To really deal with us and how we are, that we might be helped and that we might have a relationship with him. He is not our enemy. He is not. God is not our enemy. He is the Savior, and he's the Redeemer of sinners, and he is the one that is speaking to us. Kind of a tough passage, and it's good for us to get it addressed quickly or early in the message. And I do this just so we can know about the mind of God. When the Lord begins to build a nation, when the Lord is setting down the law on how a nation is to be, he says something about unruly and rebellious children. God has got a thought in his mind about the way that'll be a blessing for a society, a culture, and a nation. And I tell you what, it's a heavy passage, but it is there. Because it's a warning, and it's a warning to all of us. And this is not done in our day. And I'm thankful that it's not. But the repercussions of not dealing with such has long-reaching ramifications. And so here, in the Lord dealing with his nation in Deuteronomy chapter 21, he says this, and I tell you this, young people, that you might be warned. This is God speaking, and he is looking to instruct, and he's looking and to give us and tell us what is good for our futures. And so when the Lord had this regarding his nation and what his heart was regarding children's behavior and his expectation. Remember, the Lord's purpose and way from the beginning, even with adults, as God speaks and we hearken, we hear him and we believe him and we obey it. That's what he expects. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, and girls, don't think that they would be left out too, but you're not, okay? This is just the language of the scriptures. A rebellious child, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Whoa. I mean, that's serious business, isn't it? That's God's opinion about the future of a nation. That's God's opinion about the obedience of children. This is something, what happens if children are allowed to grow up and they do become gluttons and they are rebellious? It will be the demise of a nation, won't it? That's what God declares. He knows that and he wants good. Oh, heaven forbid that anyone would ever have to deal with such a thing. It would be a grief. So, why not obey? Why not hear the word of the Lord? His work, his design, his intention is for the good of everyone. For the good of the child, for the good of the home, for the good of the city, society, and the nation. But that's what God thinks about it. And when he was dealing with his nation, he said, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. He said, the evil, it will corrupt and it will bring a terrible, terrible thing. Because of the breakdown of the family in our nation and the allowing of children to grow up and to be adults, to have their own just searching out their own hearts and their own ways. It's brought our nation to the shape that we're in. It's one piece of the pie. It's not the only thing, but it is one piece of the pie in regards to our nation. The Lord in his day there spake to children that had grown up and were in the leadership then, didn't he? And so it's a thing that happens with mankind. They had done the same thing in that day. And then in Deuteronomy 27, so we're here, and listen to this. This is a notable thing. This is a notable thing. As Israel was going to go into and pass through the land of Canaan that the Lord had given unto them, there were some things that the Lord wanted this second generation to understand. And what he did is he had a certain amount of the Levites, the priests, stand over on Mount Gerizim. And as the children of Israel were going between these mounts, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, up in the region of Samaria, this is the region where the woman at the well at Sychar, that the Lord dealt with her in John 4, the priests on Mount Gerizim were to declare blessings, 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 that the people, that this generation be reminded. But then over on Mount Ebal, there are a portion of the Levites that were declared to declare the cursings. And the things that are bad and wicked that would come from wickedness of the people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse number 16, listen to what one of the things was and the curses. Curseth be he, Deuteronomy 27, 16, that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Setteth light. What's that mean? That means dad says what to do. Dad says what not to do. And you say, I don't need to do that. And we've touched upon this as a worker. As children, may God help us. I mean, you know how I know about being a child? Because I was one. And I had problems. I had disobedience and wickedness in my heart when I was a child. And I don't want those things for any of our children. I had deception and deceit as a child in my heart and pursued those things. I don't want that for any of you. That's how I speak to you. I experienced these things in my own life. I don't want them for you. Setting light by father. Now, of course, the context is a father that wants well for their child. And we know that there's exceptions, that there are fathers that are in bad shape physically, spiritually, and wicked in the world. And that's not what the Lord's speaking about in regards to this. But a father that wants to instruct well, to set light by that. Dad speaks, blow it off. You know, our culture has come to the point that as Isaiah, as it's declared in Isaiah, that women and children are running the show. Father has been made to look a fool in situation comedy on TV for 30, 40 years. And so now we live in a time that men, husbands, fathers, now, of course, there's all this gender confusion and this family confusion about what a family is. That the word, the directive of a father is just blown off. Wives can destroy. Mothers can destroy the directive of a father. Husbands, fathers can destroy the directive of a wife. Understand, parents, we need to be confederate as mother and father. Because our words carry weight, and they can carry weight to the positive or to the negative. But back to the children, setting light. Father is given the instruction, and the child says, nah, that doesn't apply to me. Mother has given the instruction. Listen, men, be confederate. If you've got a disagreement with your wife, have it to yourselves and get it straightened out. Parents should not shame the other in front of the children, but should be confederate. I told my children when they were growing up, you mess with your mother, you're messing with me. And if we have a disagreement about how to do something with children, we need to get that settled apart and then come back with the Confederate answer to the children. It should be that way. Setteth light by mother. See, there are some that can be that children think, well, this parent is the one that I should listen to, and this parent is the one that I should not listen to. No. Mom speaks, dad speaks. That is the way it's to be. And that was one of the cursings on Mount Ebal going into the land. It's a big thing. Why? Because it was a problem with the people. It was a problem. The Lord said, father and or his mother. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, what did the Lord give to his nation? And what was his heart regarding the behavior of children? Well, there's this, he that smiteth his father, Exodus 21, 15 through 17, he that smiteth means hit, to strike his father or striketh his mother shall surely be put to death. Tell you what, it disturbs me greatly when I see children beating upon parents. It's one thing to wrestle and one thing to play. Listen, Joseph, you need to listen. Don't look at what Nathan has there for you to look to. Listen to this. It's important. To hit a parent, to strike a parent, to hit a mother, to hit a father is displeasing to God. It is not good. And children should not be encouraged in that in any way. To wrestle, to wrangle, to fight, that's one thing. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Men stealers, those that would take and kidnap people. Verse 17, and he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now that's what the Lord arranged and said should be in regards to the nation. Why? Because it would be a detriment to the nation if it went on. It would be terrible. It would not be good. It would not be right. And so the hitting of parents and the cursing of parents, the Lord says, don't do that. Don't go there. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. So here the mother is listed first. And keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Fear. To fear his mother. And what this is talking about, it's not talking about being in terror of, but to have honor and respect toward. That God has given parents to children for the directive that they might understand and learn how to follow God. In Leviticus 20, verse number 9, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. My, that is really, really strong, isn't it? But the Lord knew that in the nation, it does not need to be this way. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. In Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. That wasting a father is to rough him up or to take and just for the sake of using him. Whatever I can get out of my father, that I'm going to take, but have no care or no honor for him. In Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And understand, even though the nation might not respond to what the directive of the Lord has been, the Lord is keeping track. The Lord is keeping track. He's keeping track as far as children. And he knows obedience. He knows obedience is submission from the heart and inaction, or he knows rebellion indeed. And we're being, the Lord is being good to us. He's being good to each and every one of us in warning us. Here's another one, Proverbs 28:24, and something that I saw when I was young with the fellas and folks that I went to school with and had to do with. Proverbs 28:24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother, to steal from parents, to take what is not yours. Yes, it is your parents, and if you have permission, then you have permission to use or to take a thing. But to take and steal from parents, I had those that I went to school with that would actually look to take money from their parents and would steal from their parents. And it's not right to rob parents. God says this does not need to be, robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression. They won't care. Now, if you have permission, that's one thing. But without permission, it is robbery before the Lord. This one that robbeth father or mother, the same is the companion of a destroyer. So that's serious. That's a weighty thing. And that's what the Lord says. And then this in Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh his father, setteth light, makes fun of, especially as a father would go into old age, a mother into old age, that mocks them, that makes fun of them, that does not have compassion towards them. The Lord is watching that and despises to obey his mother. The Lord says, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, the eyes, and the young eagles shall eat it. I tell you what, that is just heavy. But you know what? It's given as a warning about how serious it is. Children need to be obedient, especially to parents that have a desire from the Lord and from the word of the Lord to instruct and lead and direct well. Need to obey. It's the design. It's the design of the Lord. See, children, know this, that the Lord's desire for you is to be obedient and teachable. We see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, where Solomon writes in the Proverbs, my son and my daughter could be put in there too. This is two children. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. See, it is in the design of the family that the father, the husband, is responsible for everything that's done in the home. But each one has their role and their place designed and arranged by God, and instruction for regarding such. And one parent is not to be listened to and the other ignored. But both here, the Lord says, hear the law. Don't forsake the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father. And of course, especially those that desire to do so by the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. So it's reiterated again, isn't it? And then in Proverbs 10, verse number 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son, a wise daughter maketh glad parents, but the foolish of such is heaviness indeed. It's sad for a parent to see their child go in a wicked way. In Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And then in Proverbs 23:22, the Lord says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You know, when children grow up and they become adults, and maybe they establish their own home, they move out, whatever it is that happens there. There is a delineation between families that needs to be there. They need to be their own home. They need to be their own family. But parents that are godly and desire the way of the Lord and the word of the Lord, they should be listened to. They should be at least give place to hear about what they say. They've got years of experience. They've got the things that they have seen that maybe the younger have not seen. And I think that this is how we would apply this in our day. Proverbs 23, verses 24 through 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, And he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him and her. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Brother John writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's speaking about the spiritual, and certainly it applies to the physical, doesn't it? The children of our own loins, the children that we begat from our own bodies, and the blessing of the Lord. And then lastly, in this of being obedient and teachable, in Ecclesiastes 4:13, Solomon writes, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. A child that has nothing but wisdom, that's better than even the one of greatest standing among men, an old and foolish king. A wise child is the best. Children, be wise. Be wise in the Lord, not the way of the world. Be teachable. Be obedient. And hear from God. See, this is all summarized in this. It's summarized in this that the Lord gave on Mount Sinai unto the children of Israel and even unto us today. In Exodus chapter 20, we have here the Ten Commandments. And these are things that the Lord has given that are kind of the highest point of different facets and aspects of life. Our relationship to God, our relationship one to another. And the Lord, he says here at the beginning of the commandments and our relationships one with another, he says unto all of us, to the nation and to mankind, in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor them, because it's connected to the length of your days. Now, Brother Jim, how can that be? The Lord has said it. It's in his hands to do it. So honoring father and mother, honoring them in obeying them, honoring them in respecting them, honoring them in hearing them and listening to them. And again, we're talking about parents that are desirous of the Word of God and desirous of things pleasing to the Lord, a right good way. And of course, no person, no father, no mother is perfect. Not saying that. Not saying that a father or a mother would ever give, that they wouldn't ever give bad advice or bad directive. Each person's got to decide for themselves. But as a child in the home of parents, honor thy father and thy mother. It's directly connected with the length of your life. That's what God has said. Well, Brother Jim, I don't know if I get all that out of Exodus 20:12. I know some cases. Well, in Deuteronomy, the Lord says it again in Deuteronomy 5:16. He says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So that's the command of the Lord. That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. Honor them. And he says it again, that your days might be lengthened and that it might be well with us. Honor our parents. Why is it that the Lord gave this unto Israel and to the world? Because, see, with the heathen, there is a lack of honor of father and mother. There is all these things that I mentioned and that we read in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. The way of the world is to take my father and mother and to push them away. And then we have this in Ephesians 6 regarding this promise from God unto children. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, if you have your Bibles, turn to it and read it for yourselves. It's not what I say, but it's what the Lord says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so now we have that qualifier. The Lord is intent to give us that if your parents are following the Lord and looking to be obedient to the Lord and the Word of God, obey them. Obey them. Obey them when they can see you, and obey them when they cannot see you. Don't do so with eye service as a parent pleaser, but obey them all the time. Because remember, God is watching. God is taking account. God is he has books in which he is writing things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus and to us. Honor thy father and mother. And so in honor, as mentioned in Exodus 20, included in that is this obedience. And listen to what he says there in that side note, that note of clarification. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. What is that promise? Honor father and mother that you might live longer, which is the first commandment with promise, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, as we read there in Deuteronomy, and as that thou mayest live long on the earth. So this isn't an Old Testament thing that's just laid upon the children of Israel and the chosen seed of Abraham by God. But here, this church at Ephesus is receiving this. And this is a church mostly of Gentiles, if we understand it right. It's a promise to you, child. Obey them. Honor them. Do so before God at all times, not only in their sight. It may make great sense to you to listen to mom and dad and obey them while they can see you, but then when they can't see you, run off and do something that you would rather do. But it doesn't, because God is keeping track. And God says it's connected to a good life and a long life. We're admonished in the church in Ephesians 5 in this same book, in the church, that we be followers of God in Ephesians 5 verse 1 as dear children. See, the Lord is taking, as he does many times, the way that it ought to be amongst children in a family, the way it's known that it should be in the design of God, it's the way it's to be in the church. And be a dear child that's noted for honoring, that's noted by God for obeying, indeed. And then we have this, we want to bring this in here too. I have no siblings of the flesh. You, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are the siblings that I have. I have no siblings in the flesh. Many of you do. And you understand what it is to have a sibling, but I don't, other than what I have in you from the Lord. But listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, to children regarding siblings. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I would always read that verse until more recent times, is that a brother is born to adversity, because my understanding is that siblings quarrel. And I see that siblings quarrel. And it seems like when you get enough siblings or the right count of siblings together, it's inevitable at times that siblings quarrel. They fuss, they cross each other and all that. And so I thought for many, many years that adversity is that they're going to be born to adversity amongst one another. Well, that does happen. But see, what's mentioned here is that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend, a good friend, a right friend, does love at all times, but a brother is born for when things really, really, really get hard. It can be the other way, as I described for you, but I think this is the true meaning, that flesh and bone, kinship, when things get tough, they're going to come in there and should come in there and help if their hearts are right. And that's the design of God, that they will give of self to help and prop up their sibling, to support their sibling, to help their sibling. And if you have siblings of this earth, of your parents and that you live with and are with, I tell you what, be a help to them. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't be argumentative. Oh yeah, you're going to be done wrong. But look to not do wrong. If you're a sibling that does your other siblings wrong, then stop doing that and do well. And do well and do what the Lord would have you to do. Because see, again, in one of these things where the Lord takes what is known by his design to be well, he explains it to the church. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17, let's read what the Lord tells us to be in his church. And young people, children, bring that to yourself and to your own home. In 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 17, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. They did me dirty. I'm going to get them back. No, the Lord doesn't say. The Lord says, don't do that. Railing for railing. Contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are called, thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Do well and be right, and don't follow the way of the world and of the flesh, but follow the way of the Lord and being a sibling. Be a good light of what is right and true. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That's talking about deceit. Don't be a liar. Don't lie. If you've done wrong and you get crowded up about it with your parents, tell the truth and stay away from lying. What happens is in the Lord's accounting, he sees that you've disobeyed and then he sees that you lie. And don't be a liar. Let him eschew evil. That means take evil and the bad way and the wicked way and push that away. Let him do good. Let him seek peace and let him ensue it to follow it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so we see there, really a summary of all that was said and given unto Israel regarding children and disobedience and that. And it's so for adults too. There was a whole raft of things there about wickedness of grown people that had to be dealt with by the nation. The Lord is against them that do evil. And do well. Do well as a child. You'll not pass by this way again. You can't take the sins of your childhood and ever correct them. You can be forgiven for them, but you can't correct them. So don't go that way. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who can touch you? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And of course, speaking to us as the children of God. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And children, you are faced with that. Set apart in your heart what God has given. Hear his words. Hear his instruction. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, that is in you with meekness and fear. Speaking about the saved. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And so do well as a child before God. And then lastly, children as all people must humble themselves and repent before God. Everyone is called to repent before God. We see in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, the disciples came to the Lord and they said to him, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? And Jesus called a little child unto him. He said, hey, come here. And he set him in the midst of them, right there near him. In other accounts, he talks about them putting them on his knee or on his lap and said, "Verily, I say unto you," it's very, very important, "except you be converted." What that word "converted" in the Greek is talking about twist. It speaks about you're going one direction and you're turning around to go another direction, the opposite direction. A heart change. A saying within oneself and believing it so that my way is not the way, but the Lord's way is the right way. The salvation, I'm not going to find that in myself or anyone else, but I'm only going to find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Except you be converted. And this, these things that we preach, these things we brought out from the Word of God, you're going to believe them or reject them. I pray that you'll believe them and receive them. And then in regards to your soul, you need to see that the Lord's way is the way that you need and that the Savior is the one that you need. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, you already are a little child, but you need to repent too. You need to turn from yourself and your sin and your disobedience and turn unto Christ. Repent before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior that you need. Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child." And how was it that he humbled himself? When Jesus said, "Come," he came. He stood there and listened to what the Lord said. He was submissive and obedient to what the Lord was showing there that day. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so, children, you have a responsibility from the Lord in your relationship to others, to your parents, to your siblings, and to all around you, which we'll speak about for everyone in messages to come. This is what your life consists of. This is what you are accountable to God for. This is the reputation that precedes you. Even a child is known by his doings. And so may the Lord help and bless with his word.